Welcome to The Randy Report. I'm Randy Slavacek, your host. I'm also the writer and editor of therandyreport.com, where you can find me every single day on the internet reporting on the daily news cycle in terms of politics, pop culture, and entertainment news of interest to the LGBTQ community and its allies. In this week's headlines, I recap the LGBTQ highlights of the midterm elections held this past week. Russia is about to pass even stricter anti-LGBTQ laws. Brendan Fraser is garnering Oscar buzz for his new film, The Whale. Heartstopper star Kit Connor comes out as bisexual, plus new music from Bentley Robles and Gregory Dillon. All that and more in this episode of The Randy Report. It's pretty safe to say election night this week was not what most people expected the 2022 midterm elections to look like. The much ballyhooed red wave didn't materialize. Instead of dozens and dozens of House seats being flipped red, it looks like the Republicans will take control of the House, but perhaps in just the single digits. There were many notable races, but perhaps few as stunning as the loss by out-Representative Sean Patrick Maloney in New York. The victory by his Republican opponent is seen as something of a trophy for the GOP, since Maloney served as the chair of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, which works to get Democrats elected. Hashtag oops. But there were many LGBTQ successes in these midterm elections, and I want to take the time to highlight some of them. Two-term Long Beach Mayor Robert Garcia has become the first out LGBTQ immigrant and second out Latino from California elected to serve in Congress. He will represent the Golden State's 42nd district. Democratic U.S. House candidate Becca Belint made history Tuesday night, becoming Vermont's first woman and first openly gay person elected to Congress. Former meteorologist Eric Sorensen won his race to represent Illinois' District 17 in the House of Representatives, making him the state's first out LGBTQ person elected to Congress. James Rosner, a Democrat in New Hampshire, became the first out transgender man to win a state legislature race in the entire country. In a contest marking the first time two openly gay congressional candidates had faced off in a general election, Republican George Santos won in New York's 3rd congressional district, beating Democrat George Zimmerman, which flipped the seat from blue to red. Santos will become the first openly LGBTQ non-incumbent Republican elected to Congress. All 11 current LGBTQ members of Congress are Democrats. Eric Russell won the election for Connecticut State Treasurer. With his victory, he is now the first out Black LGBTQ person ever elected to statewide office in U.S. history. Out Democrat Tina Kotek has won the race for Oregon governor. She will be her state's first lesbian governor as she succeeds term-limited Governor Kate Brown, who's openly bisexual. Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey has become not only the first elected woman governor of her state, but she and Kotek are the first out lesbians in the country to be elected as governors. Before any of those people I just spoke about are sworn into office, among the current office holders who identify as LGBTQ, there are currently 2 governors, 2 senators, 9 members of Congress, 189 state legislators, and 56 mayors, according to the LGBTQ Victory Fund. Outside of LGBTQ candidates, the best news of the night for Democrats was Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman winning his Senate race in Pennsylvania over talk show host Dr. Mehmet Oz. The seat had previously been held by Senator Pat Toomey, a Republican, so that was a pickup for the Democrats. Alaska's Senate race hasn't been decided yet, but it is currently between 2 Republicans as the state uses a ranked choice voting system. Neither Senator Raphael Warnock, the Democrat, nor former footballer Herschel Walker, the Republican, got over 50% thanks to out-libertarian candidate Chase Oliver. who drew 2.1% of the vote. And so, Warnock and Walker will now have a runoff in early December. I think the tougher race will be for Walker, since he won't have the popular Governor Brian Kemp on the ticket next month to help pull in Republican voters. Walker underperformed with voters compared to Kemp, who won his race by 8 points. Plus, Donald Trump is dying to announce he's running for president in 2024. But if he announces in the next few weeks, it could energize Democrats to get out and vote again in Georgia. In Arizona, Democratic Senator Mark Kelly has just been projected to win his re-election in Arizona.
And as I'm recording this podcast episode, Senator Catherine Cortez Masto here in my state of Nevada, considered one of the most vulnerable Democrats up for re-election, has been projected to defeat her Republican challenger, Adam Laxalt. The last batch of mail-in ballots were tabulated today, showing Masto getting over 60% of the 23.3 thousand outstanding mail-in votes. She added 14.1 thousand votes to her tally, while Laxalt only received 8.2 thousand votes. These new numbers give Masto a lead of nearly 5,000 votes. Her win gives the Democrats 50 seats in the U.S. Senate even before the Georgia runoff on December 6 between Senator Raphael Warnock and Republican challenger Herschel Walker. My state.
One more possible bright spot in these midterm elections, former half-term governor of Alaska and 2008 vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin looks like she will lose the lone House seat in her state for the second time this year. Finally, several Republicans are already blaming Donald Trump for endorsing many candidates who lost their big races, i.e. bad candidates, like Dr. Oz. But the Donald told News Nation this week that if Republicans win, quote, "I think I should get all the credit. If they lose, I should not be blamed at all," end quote. In 2013, Russian lawmakers passed legislation that bans exposing minors to anything gay, or as they say, anything that could be considered gay propaganda. Life has been challenging for gay Russians since that law passed, as the government has treated gay life as a Western import that's harmful to traditional Russian values and society. Now, Russia's parliament is set to pass a legislative package that would ban all gay propaganda, signaling an even more difficult period ahead for a marginalized, stigmatized segment of society. The new laws would prohibit representation of LGBTQ relationships in any media, movies, TV, streaming services, social media platforms, books, music, posters, billboards, and, activist fear, in any public space as well. Think of the impact that would have on queer people looking for some sense of community or validation. Violating the new laws would carry stiff penalties. Any business that showed images of a family with two mothers or two fathers, for example, could be fined up to 5 million rubles or about $81,000. Individuals would face fines of up to 400,000 rubles or about $6,500. Movies featuring queer people could be denied distribution. Research by Maxim Olenichev, a lawyer who focuses on LGBTQ rights, found that since the 2013 law was passed, only 123 violations have reached Russian courts. Olenichev acknowledges that's a small number, but points out that the main impact of the law was the way it changed Russians' perception of what constitutes socially acceptable behavior. He told the New York Times, quote, "The government basically says these people don't have the same rights as everyone else. LGBTQ people are not fully human. This is how people learn to justify abuse towards them. The purpose is to make LGBTQ people invisible in Russia," end quote. The proposed laws are part of an intensifying effort by President Vladimir Putin to cast Russia as fighting a civilization struggle against the West, which he accuses of trying to export what he terms corrosive values. The Kremlin is tying the crackdown on LGBTQ expression with its rationale for the war in Ukraine, insisting that Russia is fighting not just Ukraine, but all of NATO, the Western alliance that represents a threat to the motherland. In a speech in late October, Putin underscored that message, saying that the West can have dozens of genders and gay pride parades, but it should not try and spread these trends elsewhere. Alexander Kinstein, a deputy from the ruling United Russia Party and the author of the new anti-gay bills, was more direct, saying, quote, "A special military operation," by the way, that's the approved Kremlin language for the war in Ukraine, "is taking place not only on the battlefields, but also in the consciousness of the people, in their minds, and in their souls. Today, we are fighting so that in Russia, instead of mom and dad, there isn't parent number one, parent number two, parent number three." Kinstein persuaded almost 400 of his 450 colleagues in the Duma, that's the lower house of parliament in Russia, to sign on as co-sponsors, and so passage is almost a sure thing. The bills will then be sent to the Federation Council and then to President Putin for approval. Brendan Fraser, who became a huge movie star in the 1990s and early 2000s with films like Gods and Monsters, George of the Jungle, School Ties, and the adventure fantasy films The Mummy and The Mummy Returns, is already attracting Oscar buzz for his latest film, The Whale, directed by Darren Aronofsky. The movie, adapted from the acclaimed Samuel D. Hunter play of the same name, chronicles the life of a 600-pound gay man attempting to reconnect with his estranged daughter as he struggles with compulsive eating triggered by grief. After leaving his family to be in a relationship with his now deceased gay partner, Charlie, played by Fraser, hopes to salvage his relationship with his daughter, played by Sadie Sink from Stranger Things. The stunning movie trailer released this week has only two lines of dialogue, both by Fraser. Over a montage of scenes, including one with Fraser sweating profusely and breathing via an oxygen tank, we hear him say, "Do you ever get the feeling people are incapable of not caring? People are amazing." Fraser's jarring appearance in the film is the culmination of 3D printed prosthetics, latex, and digitally created effects. In August, Fraser told Vanity Fair that part of his preparation for the role involved working with Obesity Action Coalition, which works towards helping individuals along their journey toward better health through education, advocacy, awareness, and support. In early September, the film debuted at the Venice Film Festival, where the audience gave Fraser a 6-minute standing ovation. Regarding the enthusiasm surrounding his appearances through the fall festivals, Fraser told Vanity Fair, quote, "It felt so affirming. I was emotional because it was acknowledgement that what we did is making an impact. And that kind of response feels completely new in my professional life," end quote. The Whale arrives in movie theaters this December. Heartstopper star Kit Connor hit pause on his self-imposed Twitter exile to come out as bisexual to his followers last week, writing, quote, "Back for a minute. I'm bi. Congrats for forcing an 18-year-old to out himself. I think some of you missed the point of the show. Bye." As I reported last month, Connor announced he was deleting the Twitter app after being accused of queerbaiting. The term is used to describe the practice of implying non-heterosexual relationships or attraction to engage or attract an LGBTQ audience or otherwise generate interest without ever actually depicting such relationships or sexual interactions. The actor had reportedly been seen in Paris holding hands with his A Cuban Girl's Guide to Tea and Tomorrow co-star, Maya Rafico. Some fans who were apparently offended that Connor, who's still a teenager, folks, hadn't publicly clarified his sexuality for the world yet. Since the huge success of Heartstopper, where Connor plays bisexual high school jock Nick Nelson, Connor had been plagued with pressure to reveal his sexuality. Fed up with the attacks, he tweeted last month, This is a silly, silly app. Bored of it now, deleting Twitter. This came after months of public conjecture about Connor's sexuality, which he made an effort to keep to himself since, really, it's no one's business. Let's remember, this is an 18-year-old. He very well may be figuring things out still. In May, he rightfully began to express his increasing lack of patience with the online trolls, writing, "Twitter is so funny, man. Apparently, some people on here know my sexuality better than I do." Responding to Kit's coming out, Alice Oseman, who created Heartstopper, tweeted her support for Kit and clapped back at folks who gleefully spend their time speculating about sexualities and judging based on stereotypes. She signed off her tweet, writing, "I hope all of those people are embarrassed as fuck. Kit, you are amazing." Patrick Walters, executive producer for Heartstopper, responded with 3 heart emojis as more support on Twitter followed. And his Heartstopper co-star, Joe Locke, wrote, "You owe nothing to anyone. I'm so proud of you, my friend." I'll close this by repeating what I said last month about folks pressuring Kit. Would everyone please leave Kit and his 18-year-old sexuality alone? Out actress Rebel Wilson of the hit comedy films Pitch Perfect and Bridesmaids announced the birth of her first child on social media this week, calling the news a beautiful miracle. In an Instagram post, Wilson wrote, "Beyond proud to announce the birth of my first child, Royce Lillian, born this past week via surrogate. I can't even describe the love I have for her. She's a beautiful miracle." Wilson went on to express her gratitude to everyone who was involved in the birth of Royce, and particularly the surrogate who carried her and birthed her. She closed her message saying, "I'm ready to give little Royce all the love imaginable. I'm learning quickly. Much respect to all the mums out there. Proud to be in your club." The Pitch Perfect star also shared an adorable photo of little Royce as well. Wilson came out last June when it appeared she was about to be outed by a writer at the Sydney Morning Herald in Australia. Instead, she jumped ahead of the paper and shared a photo of herself and girlfriend Ramona Agruma, a fashion designer, on Instagram. The accompanying caption read, "I thought I was searching for a Disney prince, but maybe what I really needed all this time was a Disney princess." She then added the hashtag, "Love is love." Congrats to new mom, Rebel Wilson. Bentley Robles and Gregory Dillon are both queer pop artists based in New York City with nearly 7 million streams across their combined catalog. Their music is featured on major editorial playlists like Fresh Finds, Obsessed, and Out Now, and have been featured in important music publications like Paper, Billboard, and Gay Times. The two out artists teamed up for a razor-sharp anthem, warning folks, adult language ahead, that delivers a very simple message to their past failed relationships. You're so fucking stupid. The duo channeled their personal breakup experiences into 2 minutes of addictive pop-punk energy for the new single titled, "Don't Listen to This Song." Let's take a listen. And as I mentioned, strong language, so listening at work might not be a good idea. You're so fucking stupid. Sitting in my driveway in your Honda. You thought I'd never do this. But maybe don't listen to the song. Guess I'm just hot enough to fuck with. I never really thought about this before. But every time that we make up, I still got one of my eyes just watching the door. Hate when you hit your vape, when I try to explain. Cooking a melon grape, can you get that shit on my face? Ah, yeah. Convos all end the same, yeah. You're so fucking stupid. Sitting in my driveway in your Honda. I'm just another blonde who got you off, huh? A nice
nice person on you till you had enough. Why are you so shy? Ain't you that guy? Left me for dead. Funny how you played me. Backed into a corner, now my brain is feeling wavy. Baby, don't come my way. You and I can't relate. Get the fuck out my face. Tell me there's a trap.
A reminder, Don't Listen to This Song is now available on all major music platforms for downloading and streaming. I always encourage people to please support these talented out artists so we can have more representation of our lives in music. And that brings me to the end of this episode of The Randy Report. If you enjoy catching up on LGBTQ news in a quick podcast, I'd appreciate it if you would share it with your friends. I like to think of The Randy Report as the 60 minutes of gay news, only shorter. And remember, you can find me every single day on the internet at therandyreport.com, where I cover the daily news cycle regarding politics, pop culture, and entertainment news of interest to the LGBTQ community and its allies. Thanks for listening, folks. Take care of yourselves, and I'll see you next time.